How much of our time in life, I wonder, gets spent sitting down? Now we know at night we sleep, so many of us don't probably sleep like this, but some of us do fall asleep in those lazy chairs where you get to roll back and relax. Some of us, like me, we can fall asleep anywhere, right? Anywhere, anytime. Life is really about what direction we're facing. And in 2025, the question becomes, am I headed in the right direction? I was actually going to go somewhere completely different, and God said, nah, let's just stay right here. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. So he called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. As they stood before the king, he said, I have had a dream that deeply it troubles me, and I must know what it means. The astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, long live the king, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. But the king said to the astrologers, I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you will be torn limb from limb. Your houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. But if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts, honors. Just tell me what the dream and what it means. And they said again, please, your majesty, tell us the dream, and we will tell you what it means. And the king replied in verse 8, I know what you're doing. You're stalling for time because you know how serious I am when I say, if you don't tell me the dream, you are doomed. So you have conspired to tell me lies, hoping I will change my mind. But tell me the dream, and then I'll know that you can tell me what it means. The astrologers replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such anything of any magician, enchanter, astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here among the people. The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to them to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. He asked Arioch, why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him that all that had happened, and Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. Then Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what had happened. He urged them to ask God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Daniel praised the God of heaven, and he said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of the world events. He controls the course of the world's events. He controls the course of the world's events. He removes kings and he sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness. Though he is surrounded by light, thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you and revealed to us what the king has demanded. So Daniel went in to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel said to him, don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream. So Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king and said, I have found the one of the captives from Judah who would tell the king the meaning of his dream. The king said to Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, is this true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? And Daniel replied, there are no wise men enchanters, magicians, and fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. And I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed. And while your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen. And it is not because I am wiser than anyone else that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand what was in your heart. So this morning, as we look and we talk about this text, the king had a dream. The king had a dream. And this dream and vision that he had, it left him so troubled that he couldn't sleep. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night because you had a dream that wouldn't allow you to go back to sleep? You know, interestingly enough, there's 50 million people in the United States who have the same issue. One third of adults have a hard time sleeping. 14% of adults have a hard time falling asleep. 18% have trouble staying asleep. 20% of Americans say that they're sleepy during the day. I think that number is growing all the time. Many things affect the way that we sleep and try to sleep. In case you didn't know, caffeine, alcohol, spicy food, carbs, eating late at night right before bed. One of the worst things you can do before sleep is the artificial light that comes from a phone, a tablet, the TV. And I don't know if you know this, but looking at this right before bed, it actually delays the release of melatonin in our brain, which helps us, melatonin helps us fall asleep. Stress, anxiety, depression, along with money, life, war, death, so many things, medications disrupt sleep, thoughts that keep us awake, worried about work, worried about money, worried about relationships, health, past mistakes, self-doubt, anxiety about the future, reliving, rethinking over and over a negative thought that keeps coming in our brain. You know, one little thing melatonin produces in our brain, it regulates by the light higher levels that are produced. As soon as it starts to get dark, our brain starts to produce more melatonin. It plays a very key role in our sleep, waking up, and our sleep regularity. Screen time, your phone, tablet, TV will slow and kill the production of melatonin. Amazing that, you know, as this number grows and grows and grows, it's because the number of people who spend time with their screens have a problem sleeping. The king didn't suffer at this time from reading and looking at his phone. He had a problem. He had something that troubled him. And many of us today, how many of us know more than our screens, even though these things do bother us? I wonder how many of us are troubled with one thing. And I wonder this morning how many of us have had a hard time sleeping because there's something, worry, stress. For the king, what kept him up at night? For us this morning, what is it that keeps you up at night? You know, when we have a problem, we usually call someone. The king, who did he call? He called his knuckleheads. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're not a knucklehead. Though some of us do act like knuckleheads at times. Who did he call? Magicians, enchanters, astrologers, sorcerers. These are people who worked for the king, part of the royal court. These men were considered special because supposedly they had more wisdom and knowledge. They were smarter, supposedly, than everybody else. But some of us are kind of like the king, and when there's something bothering us, sometimes we put all of our hope and trust in the wrong people. Sometimes we put our hope and trust in the wrong crowd. Sometimes we put our hope and trust in the wrong Google search. Sometimes we put our hope and trust in wrong things. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we learn to trust the name of the Lord our God. In this story, as we see Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to find there is a different name to trust in, other than the men that he grew up faithfully trusting all of his life. Who do we put our hope and trust in? Who and what, by our actions, by our words, do we say, I trust and look to you? I love how the king in the story played it smart. He didn't go to these people, his knuckleheads, and say, listen, here's my dream. Now tell me what it means. He went to his knuckleheads and he said, listen, I want you to tell me what my dream was, and then I want you to tell me what it means. He put them to the test. He wanted to see how smart, how knowledgeable, how wise these men really were. Because it's easy. How many of us know if we were to come right out, if the king was to come right out and say, here is my dream, any one of them could have took an educated guess. Any one of them could have sounded very smart and very intelligent. Any one of them, if he just blurted out what it was that was bothering him, any one of them could have done it. I love how the king played it smart. He really wanted to know. You know what he wanted to know? He wanted to know the truth. Sometimes as people, because we're troubled within, many of us get troubled within at different times and different points of life. Sometimes we blurt it out. Sometimes we have to blurt out all of our troubles, like going to the bathroom. Sometimes we as people, we just love to talk and talk and talk and talk. And so we have to share every trouble, every anxiety, every stress that we have. And then in doing so, you know what we do? It lands, those words land on people who are around us. Even if they're not in a close diameter, the words, the troubles that we speak, they hit somebody. They get to somebody. And the problem is, even though many of us, we are surrounded by lovely, beautiful, handsome, and wonderful people, how many of us know that sometimes as humans, we love to share our opinions? And so when we know somebody's in trouble, what do? We give them our opinion. When we hear someone has had some problems, there is something that is going on, so many people, so we just love to share what is going on. The king plays it smart. So how did these wise men, the wisest of the wise, the best of the best, these were the MVPs of the moment. These guys were on top. They were top shelf kind of men in this kingdom. What did they reply to the king? King, tell us your dream, and we'll tell you what it means. Twice. The king starts to get a little frustrated. You know what he says? He says, you know what? If you can't tell me my dream or what it means, I'm going to tear you apart limb from limb. I'm going to destroy your houses. Seems like the king had a little bit of an anger issue. Seems like King Nebuchadnezzar, because of his lack of sleep, because he was troubled, because he was frustrated, because there were certain things going on within him that he couldn't control, that he couldn't fix. There was something going on that he did not have an answer for. So it caused anger. Huh. You know, 30% of adults today have a hard time controlling their anger. 30% of adults have a hard time controlling their anger. It actually goes up between ages 14 to 21 year olds, 64%. 14 to 21 years of age, 64% have a hard time controlling their anger. Anger is not a good thing. Ephesians 4:26 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, because anger gives a foothold to the devil. Psalms 37:8, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit can take a city. James 1:19, understand this, my brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Sometimes people use anger like a drug, and sometimes people use anger like a crutch. And every one of us in here this morning, I'm sure, has been angry at least once in our life. Maybe twice, maybe 10 times, maybe a lot more than that. And how many of us have an excuse for every time we got angry? And how many of us, that excuse is because of what somebody else did? If we look at the Bible, is anger correct with God? What did he say? Human anger, it's all bad. The king in this story, what did he want to do in his anger? He wanted to kill all the wise men. He wanted to tear them limb from limb. And you know what happens usually when we get angry? What do we do with our words? We're tearing someone apart. Sometimes, before we feel the blood starting to boil, before we feel the Hulk, he's coming out. I'm turning green, the muscles are going, and I'm getting angry. How many of us have learned to calm ourselves down? What did the writer of Proverbs say? And I love that Proverbs was written so long ago, but yet today it is so wise. He who learns to control his temper is a wise person, better than any warrior. This person who control his anger and temper can what? He can take down any city. Self-control. The king in this story, unfortunately, did not know how to deal and handle his self-control. But understanding that God will deal with angry people because angry people hurt other innocent people. What was it that the king wanted? What was it that the king needed? There was something that he had inside. There was something that he was dealing with. This was a human issue that no other human could help with. This king, something in his heart and his mind, something that he saw, something that he heard, something, some vision that he couldn't get out of his head. There was something troubling him that it was so deep and it was so great, and he needed help quickly because he couldn't go on. He felt like he couldn't go on. He couldn't move. He couldn't keep going because there was something so troubling inside of me. There's something so troubling, something so big, something that is bugging me so bad. Have we ever dealt with something that seems so big and so wide and it is so troubling? And just like the king, sometimes we constantly are looking in the wrong place. The wise men, called wise magicians and astrologers, they had one correct answer, and the answer was, you know what, king? There's not one man on earth who can reveal this to you. There's not one man, because it is God who can only reveal those things. Many of us, sometimes we get lost, confused, and we keep circling the wrong mountain, just like the king, circling and looking for the right person. He had in his kingdom the man. He had in his kingdom four wise men who were wiser. We know from Daniel chapter 1, it said that the four men in his kingdom, they were 10 times wiser, 10 times better. They were 10 times more educated than all the other goons. These four men had it, but he didn't go to those four men. He went to the other men, and he asked. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get the bad news that the king has decided to kill all the wise men. And so Daniel goes to the king, and he says, please, give me a little time. And then what does he tell his friends? We need to go and pray. Let's go get on our knees. Let's go get on our knees, and let's beg before God. Let's beg God. Let us come before God and let us eagerly, persistently, passionately come before God and ask for his help so that we don't lose our lives. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The results that these men were looking for, the king didn't know, the astrologers didn't know, but the results came by four men who got down on their knees. And what did they do? They simply prayed and asked the right person. God, we need your help. God reveals this dream to Daniel, and I love Daniel's response. As soon as God reveals him to the dream, listen to the words and what God gives to Daniel. He says to God, God, you alone know the time and seasons that we are in. He says, God, you alone set up kings, but you also tear kings down. God, you alone give wisdom. God, you alone give knowledge. He says, God alone reveals the deep hidden things that we have no idea. God knows what's in the dark, and God brings light to bring revelation in the light. You know, today, many people are still troubled, and many people are still looking for answers, and they're looking for help. Because we know today, more than ever, so many people are troubled in the internal part of life, the mental, the emotional part of life. We have not gotten better. No matter how smart and no matter how educated we are, more people today, by fact, are troubled within than ever. And the answer, the only answer, is not going here or there. It's not going to our phones, even though Google sometimes has a correct answer. The answer can only be found in what? In God alone. Daniel comes before the king and he says to the king, King, I'm not special. I'm tall, I'm strong, I'm handsome. But he says, you know what? It's not me. This is not me. I have the answer. I have what you're looking for, but King, I want you to understand one thing. This did not come from me, because he always pointed where? He pointed up. God is going to reveal this to you. And so this morning, as we start putting this story in pieces together, our king in the story was troubled, just like as our world is troubled today with so many things. The king surrounded himself with who? Bad, evil, horrible people. Just like today, many of us in here are still surrounded by people that we should not be associated with. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be fooled by those who say things. Bad company, it corrupts good character. Think careful, right? Stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you do not know God at all. 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Proverbs 25:26, one of the wisest ones. I love this. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. How amazing is the writer of Proverbs, who wrote this, goes back. How muddied of a spring or gets polluted when the righteous give way to the wicked. The king spent so many years, what? Around the wrong people. And how many of us still can't figure out in life, I'm around the wrong people. It started to muddy me. It's starting to pollute me. God alone, God alone, God alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, God alone. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. This light, this word, revelation, revelation, revelation. Jesus is the revelation of the world. He is the light that exposes darkness and extinguishes darkness because he is the revelation of God. Jesus Christ is the light. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Many today, without realizing it, is they're looking for God's deep secrets. And there's only one way that we can find the secret, the answers to the secrets that are within. It's by God's Holy Spirit. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts, they're nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. And just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Today we have humanity and people who have, in many of us, because we find education, because we find intelligence, because we find habits, because we find things that we get stuck in crutches, in so many different things, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, whether it's the things that we see and we play around with until we're stuck. We have humanity for many people in this world today who don't want God. They don't want to rely on God. They don't want to look to God. They don't want to admit that they have problems. We have people. How many of us know people who all they do is talk about their problems? How many of us have friends that all they do is talk about their problems day and night, night and day, night and day? And then you have other people on the other side of the token who don't say any word at all. They keep everything to themselves. And we have so many different personalities. We have so many different kinds of people. It's what makes us so special, right? Humanity. It's in an interesting place today. It's in an interesting place today because so many people are looking and so many people are wanting and so many people are needing, but they're not getting the answers. And you know why they're not getting the answers? God is looking for people today who are humble, trustworthy, steadfast, courageous, who seek Him daily. God is looking for people who are firm in Him, people who are firm in God's Word, people who are firm in their faith and trust in God above. God is looking for people who He can use today. 2 Timothy 2:20, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some have made wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean. You'll be ready for the master to use for every good work, running from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteousness, living, faithfulness, love, peace, and enjoy the companionships of those who call on the Lord. And so this morning, as we very carefully start to wrap up, God is asking in 2025 to stand. But we see in this story, Daniel, and for us, it's hard to know when to stand unless you learn how to kneel. God didn't reveal the answer to Daniel, the four men, just out of the blue. God didn't just, Daniel, here is what the king is looking for. Daniel, this is what you must do. Many of us, we always want the easy way out. We want the shortcut. We want it quick as possible. We need to race 99 miles an hour because we need to get somewhere really quick. God used these men to stand in a very difficult time. God used four men who were taken captive. They were hijacked. They were kidnapped from home. God used these men in a crazy place, in a crazy time. It was full of evil people, darkness. They did so many horrible things. But in order for them to learn how to stand, they needed to learn how to kneel. And learning how to kneel in prayer, coming to God first. I go and I get on my knees because God alone has what I need. God alone has what I need. God alone has what I need. You know, sometimes one of the hardest things to say to somebody when you're talking with somebody who's struggling, well, have you prayed about it? Have you gotten on your knees? Have you humbled yourself before God and prayed? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Learning to be in this year, 2025, where God wants us to be, where He wants us to go, to learn to kneel in prayer, but also to learn to kneel in humility. Daniel was a humble man. Daniel was a humble man. No matter his success, no matter what God did for him and through him, you know what he did? He remained humble. Sometimes, for whatever reason, humanity, I don't know if you ever listen to people sometimes who, you know, God does reveal something to them. Have you ever heard people brag about how God is using them? God doesn't need us to brag. God doesn't need us to boast about ourselves that He picked me. He picked me. He picked me. Aren't I so special? I'm so cute and wonderful. There's sometimes people who, what God does, it gets to their head. We're all special. We're all amazing people. We are. But Daniel in this story, he highlights something that many of us in humanity have a hard time doing, and that is learning to live a humble life. King, it's not me. It's God. King, not my will, but God's be done. King, it's not about me. It's not about me. It is about God alone. This morning as I get back to the chairs, we all know that most of us drive our cars in this direction. Here's the windshield, got the steering wheel. But I couldn't imagine for a minute, if the windshield was still right here, how many of us could be good at driving the car this way? Even if you're going like this, and even if you're going like this, if you were to constantly try and drive your car facing the wrong direction, what's going to eventually happen? You're going to crash. But you know what many do in life? Even though they crash, they learn how to manage the way that they crash. And so instead of saying, you know what? Maybe my life isn't in the best direction. I can still kind of see here. Instead of saying, maybe I should change directions. You know what many do? They say, no. Let me just learn how to manage destruction. Let me just keep facing this direction and learn how to manage. Let me learn how to manage a little bit of sin that I'm kind of playing with. Let me learn how to manage a little bit of this evil that I'm having fun with over here. Let me learn how to manage. I know I crashed there, but you know what? I didn't die. So let me just keep learning how to manage this direction. Maybe I'm not headed in the right place. Maybe this thought isn't headed in the right place, but I'm going to keep managing these thoughts. Maybe these feelings aren't exactly good feelings, but let me learn how to manage them. Let me learn how to manage this direction. How many of us know life is better viewed from the right direction? Life is better when viewed from the right direction. But yet, how come some of us, we still choose to face life in the wrong direction? We know life, there's a spiritual life we can't see. There's God who's in heaven. We know that he sent his son Jesus. We know that he gives his Holy Spirit without restraint to those who seek him. There is a spiritual life that we can't see. But yet, many of us in our spiritual lives, we're still facing it in the wrong direction. Because why? How many of us have learned to manage life going in the wrong direction? We become good managers of managing the wrong way, the wrong thoughts, the wrong directions, instead of facing in the right direction. Many of us have learned to crash and burn, but get back up, and it's okay. I didn't die. I've got 9 lives, so I got 8 more to go. I'm just going to keep on this direction. Our text this morning, as we've been looking at Daniel, highlighting men hijacked, kidnapped, taken captive. And I think today, without realizing it, we live in a season, we live in a time where people, humanity, and even Christians have been kidnapped and taken captive in a process, in the direction of where God needs us and wants us to go. Because life moves at such a rapid pace, because life is moving, to me, seems like faster than it ever before. This morning, there's many, without realizing it, has let a little bit of evil, a little bit of darkness creep in and take them captive and hijack them, just like the 4 men in the story who are hijacked and taken captive. Parts of our brain, parts of our thought life, parts of the past that still keep coming up, parts of feelings and emotion, the past, the present, the future, so many different things where we've allowed, without realizing it, We once were in the right direction, but now we're headed in the wrong direction. Slowly, so nobody notices. If I move really slow, just like at night, how many of us have ever gotten up and didn't want to wake anybody up? So if I get up real quiet, if I just move real slow, I'm not going to wake anybody up. And I wonder this morning if any of us are living our spiritual life, this physical life, this mental life, this emotional life in that state of, I know where I'm going. It's bad. Maybe. But I'm just going to walk real slow. Like a ghost. Nobody's going to see me. No one's going to hear me. God, in asking us to learn to stand in prayer and humility, saying, God, not my will, but yours be done in me. I want to wrap up with the end of Daniel chapter 2 this morning. In Daniel chapter 2, where it ends, Daniel gives the vision and the dream to the king, Daniel 2:45. And he says the meaning, just briefly at the end, I'm not going to read the whole part, but the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. This great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. Then King Nebuchadnezzar threw himself down before Daniel. He worshipped him. He commanded his people to offer sacrifices and to burn sweet incense before him. The king said to Daniel, truly, your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. In Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon while Daniel remained in the king's court. Everything in life that we're looking for, everything in life that we're wanting, everything in life that we're needing, how many of us know that just like these men, how many of us like getting gifts once in a while? How many of us like a little promotion, a little blessing? The story highlighting that there's something specifically happened then that God is asking today. He says, I need you, like Daniel was needed in his time, to start leading the charge. God is saying in 2025, like I used Daniel, like I used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a crazy time, in a crazy city, in a crazy place, with an evil king and evil people, God is saying, I pick them like I'm picking you to lead the charge. Let's be a part of something bigger than what we see. Let's be people, men and women, who allow the Spirit to reveal deep secrets, deep hidden things that God wants to use us, like he used Daniel, to be a vessel of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he also called us what? You are the light of the world. He says, you don't take a light and hide it, do you? Jesus said, no, you put it for all to see. As God used these men back then to be the light, God is asking you this morning to be the light of the world. As we embrace the light, Jesus, and we see the revelation, as we get down on our knees and pray, as we say, you know what? I'm not going to go in that direction anymore. I place myself where I need to be. I'm not going to take any more detours and get so sidetracked in life. God, help me to lead the charge where you put me, in our jobs, in our workplace, in our homes, in our community. 2025, remember the theme for this year, stand and thrive, which means to flourish. But in order to flourish, we have to stand. And in order to stand, we must learn how to kneel in prayer and in faith in God. And what were the results that God showed these men? Look at all the great things they did. Look at all the great things that happened. The blessing that came from heaven because they stood. My last verse, Romans 12:1. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your body to God because all he's done for you. Let there be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Very important part two. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The men in the story would have been real easy to conform to the pattern in the world that they were placed. Today, there's a lot of patterns. Today, there are a lot of things that we see that are right in front of us. God hasn't put us here to conform to those patterns. What he's asking us to do, to rise above those patterns and to stand for him more than we ever have before. Just because we have a new president, our problems are not solved. Just because things seem to be quieting down in certain areas of life does not mean that everything's stopped and perfect. If we as Christians don't stand now, this world is going to continue to fall at a rapid pace. Stand with me. We're going to close and pray.